Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Hei Amid Aleph, the second line, at the end of the second line, Yisav Alok Abakiva. In our previous shir, the Gemara had mentioned the Brises. Our Mishnah began the Masechta with teaching us four of us Nazikin. But in our previous shir, we learned that Rabbi Shir's Brisa taught us that there are 13 of us Nazikin. And the Reb Chiya's Brisa actually taught us that there are 24 of us Nazikin. And the Gemara had begun to discuss why Reb Oshia did not include all these different Mazikim that Reb Chiya had included. And the Gemara identifies that Adam Zimmerman was included because he holds like Reb Akiva, that ain't Mishama Pi Atzmam. It's a Knas, it's not Mammon. Reb Oshia only included in his list Mazikin, which are Mammon, not Knas. So ask the Gemara, Isav like Reb Akiva, if we're going to say that Reb Oshia holds like Reb Akiva. And because Reb Oshia holds like Reb Akiva, he excluded Adam Zimmerman, which, as we just said, is considered Knas and not Mammon. But then he should have included something else. He should have included, listen, Treka Abishar. He should have included two different categories of when a Shar does Hezek. Because, asked the Gemara, listen, he should have mentioned Shar da Azek Shar, when a Shar damages another Shar, but listen, Shar da Azek Adam, and the Shar that damages a human being. Why? Because the Tanan, we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem and a Mishnah, and the Aflamet Gimel Amar Aleph, Rekiv Oima Af Tam Shaval Adam, as we've learned so many times already, that when it comes to an animal that does damage to a human being, that does damage, Karen, there's a difference between the first three times it does damage, where the Aloch is, it's Chayiv, only Chatzi Nezek, versus when it does damage after the first three times, it's a Mu'ud, it's Chayiv, Nezek Shalim. Rekiva Ma'av Tam Shehaval Adam, but if the Tam animal hurt, damaged the human being, then Misham Ma'isa Nezek Shalim. That he has to pay Nezek Shalim even the first three times. So if that's the case, you can't just make one category of Shar. You should have distinguished between a Shar Da'azak Adam and a Shar Da'azak Behema. Answers the Gemara, Hatavir Bekiva Lagzeze. Says the Gemara, Reb Akiva himself limited the extent of his chiddush. The Tanya Reb Akiva Aimer, Yochel Av Tam Shehevel Adam Yishalim Min Aliyah, Tamalayma Yasloi Megufa Mishalim Ve Mishalim Min Aliyah. The halacha is that when an animal does damage and it has to pay Nezek Shalim, and this is the case in most situations, when Nezek Shalim is paid, you pay the entire Nezek that you did damage. But the halacha, one of the halachas of Chatzi Nezek is that you not only do you pay the only Chatzi Nezek, half of what the damage you did, but you pay it migufoy. You pay it from the value of the animal that did damage. So if the value of the damage exceeds the value of the mazik, the animal that did the damage, you don't pay more than the value of the animal that did damage. Says the Gemara that Reb Akiva said that halacha now that was saying that when an animal does damage to a person, you don't pay no matter what the nezek shalom is. You only pay the chatzin. You only pay it from the value of the animal that wounded the person. And if the animal that wounded the person is not worth the Nezek Shalim, you'll never pay more. So, of course, Tosfos asked the question. So that doesn't mean you don't pay Nezek Shalim. You pay Nezek Shalim if you have the value. So why is the fact that if you don't have the value a reason that it shouldn't be included? So, explains Tosfos, it's not only that you don't pay the value if the mazik doesn't have the value. Tosfos adds that you also don't pay mimetav. We're going to be learning that a mazik usually pays idgis. What that means, we're going to be learning in our next shiur in Mitzvah Shem. But since you don't have to pay here, you don't have to pay that value. That's why says the Gemara, says Tosfos, it's not to be considered a regular case, of mazik. Says the Gemara, we continue learning in the last brisa of Rav Chiya more mazikim. Ha'oinus v'mefata v'motzi shemra. Ask the Gemara, the manahu. There are all situations where you're paying for the damage. So ask the Gemara, listen, why didn't Rabbi include them in his list? Answers the Gemara, manushach. Itanalei, if nezek, if you're going to say that oinus mefata v'motzi shemra have to pay for the damage they did to their victim, so nezek is already mentioned in the brice of Rabbi Shia. Itzar, if the fact that you have to pay tzar, tonalei. Iboshis, tonalei. Ibgam, begam is a part of a nezek. My islach lemeimer, what's the only thing that wasn't included in Rabbi Shia's brice up? My islach lemeimer, the knossa element, that you have to pay chamishim kesef, or meyer kesef, says the Gemara, all of those, as we keep on repeating, Rabbi Shia says, "Beknosa loim kamairi." So the Chasam Sofer asks, "Why doesn't the Mishnah? Why doesn't the Brisa include that when the Kahanim are mefagel, when the Kahanim make a carbonant to pigel, there's no payment because." We're saying that Rabbi Shi included Mefagel. But ask the Chasam Sofer, if a Kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's wearing the Bidei Kahuna. And we learned in Masech the Gittin that the Bidei Kahuna were actually Klayim. So why were they allowed to wear it? So we learned because that's part of the Avodah. Not only did we learn that they're allowed to wear them, they're supposed to wear them because it's part of the Avodah, but we actually learned that even if they stay in the Beis HaMikdash a little longer, it's not an issue. But that's all based that they went into the Beis HaMikdash with the right to wear those Bidei Kahuna because they're doing the Avodah. But the Kohen who goes in to make a carbon and makes a pigel had no right to wear those Bidei Kahuna. So it turns out that he wore shatness without any heter, without any permission. So he doesn't pay. Because Kim Leib de Rabnei teaches us that when there's Malkus and Mammon, when somebody does an Avera that involves Malkus and Mammon, you only get the Malkus and not the Mammon. So some Sofer says, let's say a Kohen entered the Beis HaMikdash and he didn't do the Avodah B'Pigel. The first carbon he brought properly. Then the second carbon that he brought is B'Pigel, he brought improperly. Since when he went in, he had every right to wear those Bidei Kahuna that were shatness, even though he lost that right when he did the carbon b'pigel. But if he started off doing what he was allowed to do, then it's not considered, then he wouldn't get malchus. And therefore, he would be chayiv for making the carbon pigel. We learned further in Rav Chiya's list, Hamatamim Abdamim Manasach, asked the Gemara, the Mamonahu, these are all situations that are payment for damages that are done. So even according to Rabbi Shia, that he's limiting the list to Mammon, why is this not included? Says the Gemara Manushach. Let's think this through. There's a question in Shas. And the question in Shas, a very important question, is Hezek Shein and Nikar. If somebody does damage and it's not noticeable, that damage, is it considered Hezek or not? So if Rabbi Oishi's opinion is that even though the hezek is not noticeable, halachically it's still considered an act of hezek, so says the Gemara Tanalei Nezek. So Nezek has been included already in Rabbi Oishi's Braisa. No need to repeat it. And if you're going to say that hezek shein and nikar is not considered hezek, so then why are Hamadham of Hamadham of Manasseh paying? Because it's a knas. And as we keep on saying, Knossel or Kamairi, he's not speaking about Knas. says the Gemara, the fact that Reb Chiya did mention Metama Medama Menasech as cases of a hezek, as cases, Lemikasova Reb Chiya, so says the Gemara, shouldn't this brisa be a proof that Reb Chiya's opinion is that hezek shein nikkelo shmei hezek? Because ish mei hezek, if we're going to say it's considered a case of hezek, so tonalei nezek. Nezek has already been mentioned in the brisa of Reb Chiya. Why would he need to repeat it? Answers the Gemara, that's not a question. It could very well be that Reb Chiya's opinion is, so if we'll say it's a knas, just to understand the question, if we'll say it's a knas, we could understand why Reb Chiya includes them. Because he wants to not just speak about hezek, the mummon type of nezek, it's also speaking about the knas type of nezek by a hezek shenaniker. And as we're learning, Reb Chiya is not bothered by the fact that something is already taught. But according, if we're going to say that hezek shenaniker shmei hezek, so nezek was already mentioned by Reb Chiya. If nezek is already mentioned, why need it be repeated? Answers the Gemara. Tana hezek de minkra, but Tana hezek de loy minkra. The bright Reb Chiya is speaking about two different types of hezek. He speaks about a hezek shed nicker. That's the normal case of when somebody damages or causes loss. And the other case is now teaching us that hezek shed nicker, when it's not noticeable, it's still going to be considered hezek. So there's a machloikus rishonim, why hezek shed nicker loy shmei hezek. Some Rishonim explain, because there's a concept in halacha of hareshelcha lefanecha. In a case where you could tell the person what I did, take it. It doesn't look any different. In its physical element, it didn't lose any value. If you mix truma and chulin, so of course a Yisrael may not eat it. But when we look at that tvua, we look at that grain, it hasn't changed. And therefore, since it hasn't changed, that's why it's considered that it's not considered an act of hezek, even though in value it is considered. And in fact, that the others say that to be considered a hezek shena nicker, there has to be something which is noticeably different. If it's not noticeably different, it's not a hezek that's not considered a hezek nicker. So the question is, but point out the paiskim, that even though we're learning now that hezek shena nicker lo shmei hezek, the halacha still would be, for example, if somebody had an esrig and you made a small hole in that esrig, so the average person, when he looks at that esrig, doesn't see any problem with that esrig. But the reality is that there's a hezek shein nicker, there's a hezek here, even it's the smallest hezek, that will be considered a hezek nicker. Or another example I saw, the Prima Gadim discusses where non-kosher meat fell into two pots. One pot had in it vegetables, and one pot had in meat. So he says that the pot that had in it the vegetables, so the meat made a change. The meat made the vegetables have a meaty taste. And by making the vegetables have a meaty taste, and if somebody deliberately threw in there non-kosher meat, what he really did was he did something that's noticeable. So even though he didn't change the vegetables, but it's considered enough of a change, because even a minor change is going to be considered an act of change that would be considered an act of hezek. So again, the Rambam's opinion is that hezek shena nicker is when what was damaged doesn't have a physical change. There has to be something that changes what was damaged. Tosfos says that hezek shena nicker is something that you don't see the hezek taking place. But if you could see the hezek taking place, that is considered an act of hezek. So I saw a very interesting question in the Chashukei Chemed. He discusses what happens if there's a needle that's used for injections in a hospital that somebody touched, somebody broke its sterility. The halacha is that, is that considered an act of hezek? That the person who did something like that and made it not usable will be held responsible. So he says that actually that question is a machloikis of the Rambam and Tosfos. Because according to the Rambam, the definition of a hezek is that you could see and tell that what got damaged is not the same anymore. A needle that lost its sterility looks exactly the same as any other needle. And therefore, since that looks the same as any other needle, the halacha would be that it's considered a hezek shen nikar. But if the fart is that you could see the damage being done, if you could see that the damage that's being done, even though after the damage being done, you can't tell that this damage was done, that would be considered, according to Tosfos, as a knicker. So if I see how somebody takes a needle, which is supposed to be sterile, and breaks its sterility, so that's something that we could all see, that needle won't be able to be used. And the Sefer Mishpatei Torah has a similar discussion. He says there was somebody in a yeshiva that wasn't well, and he touched food that was going to be served in this place, and by touching the food that's going to be served in this place, he created a situation that nobody could eat that food because he has some sort of disease. What would be the halacha? Would he be held responsible or not? So he says that it depends. Certainly, he says, it depends if the person who's doing it knew that he's not well and knew that he's supposed to stay away from food that other people want to eat. Because if he didn't know, he wants to suggest that maybe he wouldn't be held responsible, even though Adam Mu'ud La'ilam, but if he's not aware of his disease, maybe he wouldn't be chayiv, even though Adam Mu'ud La'ilam, but there's no reason that they allow a person who doesn't know that he's sick to touch the food. So if they allow a person who doesn't know that he's sick to touch the food, so then he didn't do anything wrong with touching the food, even though it turns out that ultimately he caused the food that shouldn't be eaten. But in a case where he knew he wasn't well, and he knew he shouldn't be touching the food, so that's a hezek shen nikar, and he says that depends on the machloikis of Rambam and Tosfos. He says that if, according to the Rambam, to be considered a hezek nikar, you have to be able to see a change in what happened. The food is the same if a person who's not well touched the food or didn't touch the food. The food remains the same. And therefore, that would be considered a hezek shen nikar. In a case, however, where, according to Tosfos, since everybody knows, and Tosfos says that even if everybody doesn't know, the fact that he knows is enough to make it into a hezek nikar, because we see that somebody who's not supposed to be touching the food touched the food. But there is one more point to make, even though this is not really the primary place to learn the sugya of hezek shen nikar. We're going to learn that the opinion of the Rambam in Perek Zayin Chayav Mazik Halacha Dalet, and so too is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Pei Hei, and the opinion of the Shach, is that if somebody made a Hezek Shein Nikar, and even though we paskin that Hezek Shein Nikar loy shmei Hezek, but if he did it deliberately, then he's chayiv a knas, that by doing it b'mezid, then he's chayiv a knas for having done that damage, even though the halacha is hezek shen nikar and lo shmei hezek. So it could be that for a new reason, in such a situation, he would be he would be chayiv. We learned further. Bishlama, says the Gemara, we go back to all the various places that taught us all the different avos mazikin. Says Rabbi Bishlama Tana Didon, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, Tana Minyona, he gave us the number of the avos mazikin, Lemuti the Rabbi Yishia. He said they're Abba avos mazikin, not like the 13 Rabbi Yishia mentioned. Rabbi Yishia says there are 13. Rabbi Yishia Tanya Minyona, Lemuti Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya had 24, and he says, I only have 13. Ella asked the Gemara, Minyana de Rechia Lamute Mai, what's Rabbi Chiya's number coming for? Answered the Gemara, Lamuti Meiser. If somebody caused that somebody else's money should be given over to an Akam, a Mefagel, or a Kayan brought a carbon with a Machsheves Pigel, he had a Machsheva to bring the carbon Chutzlos Manoi, to bring the carbon not in the right time, then the halach is that it's going to be, that it's not going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, but why doesn't Rav Chiya mention them? So listen, why does Rav Chiya mention them? So says the Gemara, Bishlam Mefagel, the reason he didn't mention Mefagel, because Kachim Oy Kamayri, he's not speaking about Kachim, Mefagel applies only by Kabbonis. But ask the Gemara, Ela Moisa Maitam Aloy Tani, why did Rav Chiya indeed not include Moisa? Answers the Gemara, Shani Moisa the Debura, Meiser only happens by person saying to the Akum something that he shouldn't have said, Ubedibura like Kamari. And he doesn't speak about damage that is caused just by speaking. Ask the Gemara, but what about Moitzi Shemra? One of the cases that Rav Chiya mentioned was Moitzi Shemra. Moitzi Shemra, the Deburahu. Moitzi Shemra is that the husband comes along and says, I married a woman who's supposed to be a psula, the lamatza, it's also a little bit of psulim, and I didn't discover that she should have psulim. So why is it a mention? Answers the Gemara, the bura, the is by maisa. The tzibur is connected to a maiser because he went and had bia, he had relations with his wife, and then he came with this false claim that she's not a psula, but there was a dibur. The other Tosfos has a different explanation because a Moitzi Shemra also hires witnesses to corroborate his false claim. And since the Moitzi Shemra hires witnesses to corroborate his false claim, that's considered a Dibur that has it Maisa. But as the Gemara, we spoke in our previous year about Edom Zomerman, that Edom Zomerman were included in Rav Chiya's list. But ask the Gemara, if we think about Edom Zomerman is also Diburuhu. It's Diburuhu Delas B'Maisa. These false witnesses come and say testimony regarding something that never happened. So why is it included according to Rav Chiya? Edom Zomerman, Diburuhu Delas B'Maisa, V'Ktani, answers the Gemara, Hasam Avgav Delas B'Maisa, correct. Edom Zomerman only represent somebody saying something which was saying testimony which the Torah considers false. However, it's interesting that the Torah calls it Maisa. Avgav the less by Maisa, even though there really is no Maisa involved in Edom Zomerman, Rechmana Karya Maisa. The Torah calls it a Maisa, because if we learn the parish of Edom Zomerman, the Ksiv, Vasisim like Kashos Lassus Lachiv. So if the Torah calls it a Maisa, that's why Rav Chiya feels it could be put into this Braisa. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Tana Didon, our Tana, as the Masechta began, and as we learned on Daf Beis, Tana Ovis, mentioned that they're Ovis, Bechlal Dika told us. And that's what the Mishnah meant to teach us, that they're Ovis and told us. But ask the Gemara, Elam Chivar Yishia, they also use the word Ovis. Bechlal Dika told us. What are the told us? Ask the Gemara, we have the 13 Ovis of Rabbi Yishia, the 24 Ovis of Rabbi Chiya. What are the toldus of all of those Ovis? Amar Rabbi Vua, says the Gemara, Kulan Ka Ovis. What they meant to say is that all of these cases of doing damage that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yishia include are all treated like the Ovis Nezikin that were taught in our Mishnah. What does that mean? L'shalom imeitav. as we learned and we're going to learn, that when the Masik chooses to pay from property, he has to pay from the Idjus, whatever that means, my Tama. In all of these cases, you pay from the Idjus, says the Mar, my Tama. Why isn't that the halacha? Because Asya, we learn Gzeir Shava between the words Tachas, Nasina, Shalom Kesef. All of those words appear by some or different of the others. And based on that, we have a Gzeir Shava that you chayif. So Mishnah said that the Mishnah identified the different chumris by each one of the mazikim. And the Gemara's question is, Mishnah said, and asked the Gemara, my kamar. What does the Mishnah mean to teach us by identifying this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Azid Mishpeh Derava, Hachikamar. This is what the Mishnah meant to do. Licht of Rechman Echada, let the Torah written just one of the others, one of the cases of Mazikin, V'tanya Idach Menei, and we should be able to learn the other others from that Av. To which the Gemara says, that isn't an option, and the reason it's not an option is because that each one of these mazikin have their own unique characteristics, and since each one of these mazikin have their own unique characteristics that differentiate them from the other mazikin, we can't learn one mazik from the other mazik. So the Mishnah said, says the Gemara, my comer, what did the Mishnah mean to say with this? Says the Gemara, Amr Mashar Shia Mishmei Derava, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah meant to do here. The Mishnah said, we just learned that we can't learn one mazik from another mazik. The reason we can't learn one mazik from another mazik, because each mazik has its own unique attribute. So the Gemara's question was, that even though we can't learn one mazik from another mazik, because each one is so unique, but why can't we take two mazikim and learn a third mazik from it? Licht of Rechmana Tarti, let the Torah have written two of the Ovis, the Taisa Idach Minayu, and the other Ovis should have been learned from them. For example, let the Torah write Shor Umava, which would mean Karen and Shane, according to Shmuel, and we could learn, Rashi goes into this at great length, and we could have learned Eish from them. Because, indeed, if the Torah would have just written Karen, we would have said, Karen is Kavanos Lahazik. When the animal does Karen, it does so with the intention of doing damage, and that what makes Karen so unique. Eish doesn't have that characteristic. And the fact, and it doesn't have that characteristic. The Torah, the Mishnah mentioned, according to Shmuel, Shane, that we see that Shane, what we see from Shane is that it's not what causes, that intention to do damage is not the driving force. Because by Shane, the animal just wants to eat. It's not looking to do damage. So we'll say, you can't learn Eish from Karen, because Karen is Kavanosu Lahazik, and Eish is not. Shane Yechiyach. I will say that Shane has Hano Lazeka, it has pleasure when it eats. For that we'll say Karen Techiyach. So what we're going to say is that because we have both Karen and Shane different attributes, so what the Gemara is teaching us is it's not Kavanosa Lahazik that makes Karen Chayiv. Because if Kavanosa Lahazik was what made Karen Chayiv, and that would be a necessary attribute to make something into a Mazik, then why are you Chayiv by Shane? It's not Kavanosa Lahazik. And the same thing by Shane that has Hano, it can't be that Shane, that the Hano is what makes you Chayiv, because there is no Hano. Says the Gemara, but the Mishnah teaches us that Chod Metati Loy Esi. You still, so even though we've said it's not Kavanosa Lahazik that makes you Chayiv, and even though we said it's not that you have, that the animal has pleasure from what it does that makes you Chayiv, you still, said the Mishnah, would not be able to learn Eish from combining these two. Because says the Mishnah, Karen and Shane are both done by an animal. And since Karen and Shane are both done by an animal is a Yesh Beruach Chayim, is a living thing. And maybe we would say, therefore, that only something which is alive is considered a mazik. But something which is not alive, Eish, even will not be a mazik. That's why the Mishnah had to mention Eish separately. Continues the Gemara, however, Amar Rava, the Kula, when we speak about all the others Nazikin, Kishadus Bar Benayu, if we would have written one of the others that are mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Av Hamazik Abar, then Asya Kulam B'matzad. Then we could have indeed learned the other Mazikim from that combination, Labar Mecheren. We couldn't have learned Karen from that. Lashom Niklam Bifrach, because Karen indeed has a very unique attribute. Mal Kulo, because all the other Mazikin, as we keep on repeating in our Shurim, Amoadim Etchulason, Moadin right away. Mar, you have to pay Nezek Shalom immediately when this animal or whatever does damage. There's no concept of Tam Amud. But Karen has this concept of Tam that the first time it did damage, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. But ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Amar. But according to the Manda Amar, that says that Karen should not be viewed as a more lenient Mazik. But Adarabba, Karen, on the contrary, Karen should be viewed as a more serious mazik. Karen Adifa, Shekavanos Lahazik. And therefore, it's more of a reason to say that Karen is a mazik more than any other mazik in the Mishnah. Because if we look at all the other mazikim in the Mishnah, there was no intention to do damage. Here there is intention to do damage. So then, Karen also could be learned. If Bar and Shar, Bar and Shane and Regal and Aish are chayiv, even though there was no intention to do damage. So certainly Karen, where there was intention to do damage, should be considered a mazik, and therefore I feel Karen nami asya. So now we have a question. Why did the Mishnah, why did the Torah have to mention all of these mazikim? Let the Torah mention just one of them, plus bor, and then we can learn the rest, and there would be no necessity for the Torah to mention all of them. Why did the Mishnah and the Torah have to mention each one separately? Because each one of the mazikim have very unique halachas. Karen, what is the unique halacha that applies by Karen? As we just said, when it does it the first three times, it's only chatzi nezek, and only after it becomes a muad does it pay nezek shalom. Shame v'regel. The reason the Torah says the shame v'regel, because the halach is the shame v'regel lepatra b'rishus harabim. If the shame v'regel did the damage in the rishus harabim, they wouldn't be chayiv. Because the Torah, when it speaks about shame v'regel, says ubir b'stei acher. Bor, what's unique in the halachas of bor hamazik, lift the b'sakelim. The Torah says v'nof l'shama shara chamor. We're going to learn later in the Masechta, on the Afnun Gimel Amad Beis, Shor Chamor, Vater, that we learn from this, that Al Kalim, that if Kalim fell into the bar and they broke, you wouldn't be Chayiv. But ask the Gemara, Ul Rab Yehuda, the Mechayiv Al Niske Kalim Bar, and does say that you Chayiv if Kalim fell into the bar. So what's unique about bar? Lift the bar as a Adam, that we learn from the word Shor, that, and everybody, even though there may be a machloikus about Kalim, there is no machloikus about Shor. Everybody agrees about Adam. Everybody agrees that if Adam fell into the bar, the person who made that bar, who dug that bar, would not be chayiv. The point, however, is that even though we just learned Shor chamor v'lo Kalim, Shor v'lo Adam, what would be the halacha if somebody dug a bar in the Rishus HaRabim and somebody's kalim fell into that bar and they broke? Would you be chayiv or not be dinei shemayim? If So the halacha is that even though somebody is, the Gemara is teaching us that you're not chayiv b'dinei bezdin, the bezdin can't make the mazik, can't make the person who made the bar pay. Bezdin b'dei, the halacha is b'dei shemayim, the right thing to do is that the person who created the spar should be chayiv for what he did. Adam, so continues the Gemara. Why did the Mishnah mention Adam? What is unique about Adam? Because Adam l'chayiv arba dvarim. As we keep on saying, that when an Adam does hezek, he's chayiv nezek tzar ripu shevus baishus. And that's why the Mishnah had to mention, the Torah mentioned this halacha, that the that you chayiv arba dvarim nezek shor Nezik Shah Ripi Baishas, says the Gemara. And what about Eish? Lift the Basa Tomin. There's an interesting halacha of by Eish that Adam, that something that's not visible is not Chai for Eish. Ask the Gemara, or Rabbi Yehuda the Mechai Vaniski Tomin by Eish, Lesuyamai, what's unique in the halachas of Eish? Says the Gemara, Lesuya is coming to teach us, Lichai Niroi, if somebody has a property, a field that was plowed and the fire went over that property, or Sikhsa Vonov, or it went through over somebody's stones, then all these halacha that Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that even in these cases, Eish is, even though it's unusual for Eish to do this type of a hezek, the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv. So this is a very interesting question that all the Mefarshim ask. Why indeed, if an Adam fell into a bar, Kalim fell into a bar, are you not chayiv? The bar, the person who dug that bar, certainly made a bar. And why should it be a difference if an animal fell in versus if somebody else fell in? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained there's a very fundamental difference when we speak about mazikim, when the mazik went and did hezek, versus when the nizik went to a place and got hurt. In all the cases of mazikim, the shor went out and did hezek. The eish, the fire spread and did damage. A bar didn't go anywhere. The person went to the bar. And since they went into the bar, then that's why the halacha is that your potter, that's why the Torah says that Adam and Kalim are not going to be chai by a bar. The Birch Shmuel says an interesting point. He says, as we said a few moments ago, that sometimes, even though technically you're not chayiv for the damage, the halacha is that you're going to, you should pay b'dei shemayim. If you cause damage, the right thing to do is to pay for what you did. So the Birka Shmuel says, what is the case? What is the case when you're chayiv, and when is the case that you're not chayiv? So the Birka Shmuel says, it depends on shmiroson alecha. If it's a case that you should have watched that what happened didn't happen, then even though on a technicality, the Torah may say that you're not chayiv in that case, but you're still chayiv b'dei shemayim. But in a case where you didn't violate shmiroson alecha, and again, this is very much connected to something that we discussed as we began the Masechta. Because at the beginning of the Masechta, we quoted the question that many achroinim discuss, and that is, what is the reason that if somebody does damage, he's obligated to pay for the damage that he did? And some say that's part of owning something, that you're responsible if you own something if it does damage. And some say it depends on shmiroson alecha. Is this something that you're obligated to have watched? And now that says the Birka Shmuel is going to be the rule to think about here. If it's something that shmiroson alecha, that you should have been watching, that the damage didn't, that your property or you didn't do the damage, then you're going to be chayiv. But if there is no shmiroson alecha, that when you have no chiv shmira, then you wouldn't be chayiv even b'dei shemayim. I saw The Rebbe Baruch Shimon Schneerson, the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva, has a little different approach. He says, if the victim, of course, where the Torah says that Yechayiv, there's nothing to discuss. But he says, in a case where the Torah is not explicit that Yechayiv, so he says, and the question here is about Dine Shmayim, so he says, it depends on what happened, is that something that should have been there or shouldn't have been there? So he says, for example, we just spoke about Kalim and Abar. And we just said that Kalim and Abar, you're not going to be Chayiv. What's going to be the halacha? He says that if you had the Kalim in a bar, but they don't really belong there. So if they don't belong there, says Baruch Shem Schneerson, and they got damaged, then you wouldn't be Chayiv. Only something that should be there, or may be there, or could, that's when the halacha is that you'll be Chayiv, even though you're not Chayiv B'dinei Adam, you'll be Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim.